We pass by, metaphorically pass by people scattered all over the road, bleeding to death from the injuries that the world has inflicted on them. In the midst of a generation screaming for answers, Christians are stuttering. Jesus wants us to see that the neighbor next door or the people sitting next to us on a plane or in a classroom are not interruptions to our schedule. They are there by divine appointment. Let me emphasize that. They are there by divine appointment. How many of you have heard the phrase providentially hindered? That's an old phrase that we used to use when we couldn't come to church. We were providentially hindered. Well, we want to start thinking in terms of being providentially appointed, okay? God has provided us opportunities to reach out to people. So they are there by divine appointment. Jesus wants us to see their needs, their loneliness, their longings, and he wants to give us the courage to reach out to them. That's what our class is about this morning, about finding simple ways to connect with people in our everyday life, to reach out to people. Brother Neil asked, could he have about 5 minutes of the class? Because he wants to talk about a divine appointment that just happened to come his way this past week. And so I'm going to turn the class over to Brother Neil for just a few minutes here.
Good morning. It is so good to see you guys here this morning. And the divine appointments, I said 5 minutes, but I'm probably going to take 10, okay? So just bear with me. Sorry about that. But I want to tell you, everyone in here has divine appointments every day. It's just that you don't recognize them as divine appointments. Linda Vines was telling me of something that happened to her recently while she was at the funeral home. If you don't know, Linda Vines is a greeter, I guess is the way you put it, at the funeral home. She's called an attendant, and she greets people as they come in and hands them things and helps take care of their needs, which, if you know what a great job she does there, she is a godsend to the funeral home where she works. And she had this young lady come up to her this past week and tell her, thank you. And Linda looks at her, thank you for what? And she says, for being so strong. We need people like you. And this young lady talked about how they had come to her school and talked about getting into this line of work. And she says, there's no way I could do it. And Linda encouraged her, and as she's encouraging her, the young lady just begins to sob. She was obviously at a loved one's funeral. And Linda just wraps her arms around her and hugs her and lets her cry. Now, Linda didn't go through the gospel plan of salvation. Linda didn't invite her to church, which I wish she had it. But Linda showed the love of Jesus in that moment. And the reason why I'm bringing this up is because you think, well, Neil, you're the preacher. You're the only one that has these divine appointments. No, we all have them every day where we can show the love of Jesus. Most of you know that Nancy's out of town. She's visiting our older son and his wife out in Idaho. She's been out there for the last week. She comes back Tuesday morning, early in the morning. Last week, because Nancy was out of town, I asked Linda to go with me to a place that Nancy doesn't like eating at, called Hungry Harry's. For whatever reason, Nancy doesn't like Hungry Harry's. I think I've taken her there too many times is what it amounts to. So Linda said she would go to Hungry Harry's with me. And if you've ever been to Hungry Harry's, it's a small little restaurant. They have a separate section for overflow, but the main restaurant itself is really small. We happened to get a good table in the corner, and we're sitting there getting ready to order our food and things like this, and a young boy comes in. This young boy, you could tell that he may not be emotionally the same age as he was in years, but he was a sweet kid, and he tried to help clean off the table while he was waiting to be seated. He asked the waitress, can I help you with this? And she says, no, I've got it. He says, I don't mind, I can help. And then he asked, you know, how old do you have to be to get a job here? And the waitress quickly dismissed him and said, you're going to have to talk to a manager about that. And I looked at him and I said, young man, let me tell you something. I am so proud of you for being so polite and so helpful. And he and I struck up a conversation, and the restaurant is so small that everybody in the room was listening to us. And I looked around the room, and everybody was smiling because of the conversation we were having. And I heard the young man, his stepfather had not come in, and so we were having a chance to talk. The waitress came over and said, "Can I get you something to drink?" He says, "Well, I want a sweet tea, but I have to ask my stepdad." And it gave me a clue that he may not have a lot of money. Stepdad may not have a lot of money. And so I thought to myself, you know, this is a kind of a sad situation. I want to connect with this kid somehow. And we were talking. His stepdad comes in. I tell his stepdad what a great young man he is. His stepfather dismissed it a little bit, which kind of hurt my feelings that he would dismiss a compliment to this kid. And his stepfather asked, "Do you have a child's portion of all-you-can-eat chicken?" So I knew that money was a problem. So I called the waitress over and I said, "Ma'am, I want you to put their check on my check." She said, "I can't do that, but I can separate them. You can pay for them." I said, "Whatever you want." Skyler continues to talk to me and Linda, and one of the things he tells us is he's got a birthday coming up. He's going to be 13. And as he's telling us about becoming 13 and, you know, all the stuff that's going on, you can just sense there is a loneliness in this kid. And we continue to talk to him, and he says, "Have you ever tried one of the brownies here?" And I said, "No, I haven't." He says, "They're so good. I hope I can get one today." And his name is Skyler. I said, "Skyler, can I buy you a brownie for your birthday?" He says, "Well, it's not my birthday yet." I said, "Yeah, but it'll be early." I said, "You ask your stepfather," because he had stepped away again. "You ask your stepfather if it's okay." And he came back, and stepfather said, "Yeah, that'd be fine." But when I told him I wanted to buy him a brownie, that kid looked at me and said, "Can I hug you?" Now, he came over and hugged me, and then he went over and he hugged Linda. That was a divine appointment. I paid for their meals. Stepdad didn't know about it. We're leaving. I gave Skyler my pen, and I said, "Look, if you ever need me, my number's on here. You call me. I'll be there for you, buddy." And he looked at me, and he said, "Are you a priest?" I said, "No, I'm a preacher, though." He says, "I knew it." We walked out of the restaurant, feeling good about the interaction. The whole room was smiling. It was one of the most memorable moments that I've ever had at Hungry Harry's. And I just loved that young man, and I could just tell he loved me, and I showed him Jesus the best way I could. I didn't tell him, "Do you know where you're going to if you were to die tonight? Where are you going to spend eternity if you're going to die tonight?" I didn't do any of that. I just showed him the love of Jesus and gave him contact information in case he needed me. We're walking out the door. Linda's going to her car. I'm going to my car, and I see this family walking in, and I'm admiring their kids and looking at them and smiling at them. And the father looked at me, and he says, "There's somebody trying to get your attention." And I turned around and looked. And there's Skyler at the door waving at me, showing me his brownie. "Look how big it is." Folks, every single day you have a divine appointment. It may be with a child. It may be with somebody that's suffering. It may be with somebody that's having a hard time at work. You don't know. But if you wake up every morning knowing that you have a divine appointment waiting on you, and you let God use you to show His love, to be His hands, His mouthpiece, His arms, and His feet, you're going to see God interact with you and others. Thank you, Richard.
Thank you, Neil. One of the things Neil just only lightly touched on was in a situation like that, not only is there an opportunity to reach out to the young man, the young boy, not only to his stepfather, but there was a room full of people that witnessed that. And who knows but what that's an opportunity for somebody to come up and say, hey, I'd like to get one of those pins, you know. And, you know, that's opportunities that we have that we're not going to call chance opportunities. We're going to call divine appointments from now on. How's that? So we're going to talk about that today. And one of the things that you have to recognize is situations like that don't always just fall into your lap. Sometimes we've got to perhaps help create that situation. So that's kind of where we are today. I saw this online article, and this is what prompted my sending Neil the information. And the title was, "We've Decided to Quit Being a Welcoming Church." That kind of catches your eye, right? What? You're not going to be a welcoming church anymore? This is a real long quote. I'm going to read through part of it at least. Probably not all of it. We might run a little short on time. Thanks, Brother Neil. So the article started out by saying, "We've decided to quit being a welcoming church." No kidding. I don't know if you can see this. No kidding. We're giving it up. Like so many congregations, we've sunk an amazing amount of time and energy into becoming a welcoming church. We've changed worship styles. We train greeters and ushers. We wear name tags. We brewed coffee. We went to workshops on hospitality and put our friendliest people in the most prominent places on Sunday mornings. Does that sound familiar? We've done a lot of that. And then it says, "My congregation realized that we had been misplacing our emphasis. Welcoming from a missional perspective is passive. That means we're waiting for people to come in. We're limited on who we can reach out to by people that step into this building. It denotes waiting for visitors and guests to drop by. Inviting is different. Inviting is active. Being an inviting church means that we leave the comfort of Sunday morning worship and seek out our neighbors. Being an inviting church starts with who God has called us to be as a church and mandates, listen to this, joining God at work in the world." So we can't just rely on God to bring them all into us. We've got to join Him out there. That phrase, "we leave the comfort of the Sunday morning worship," is something that's been something I've given a lot of thought to through years. The study of the Good Samaritan, what a great story that is. And when I've looked at that a few years ago, well, there was a study done on it, and it occurred to me that we really are very comfortable here in our Sunday morning. We got this nice air-conditioned building, thanks to Brother Glenn. It's working again this morning. We got our comfortable seats, and I'm absolutely convinced that as we leave the building each Sunday morning and hurry to the Olive Garden before the other churches get there, we metaphorically pass by people scattered all over the road, bleeding to death from the injuries that the world has inflicted on them. Does anybody agree with that? We can't see them. They're not physically laying there bleeding, but they're all over the place. There's a lot of pain and hurt in the world. There's a lot of people just looking for somebody to come and help them. There's a lot of members of the church, Christians, who have left the church, scattered all around this area, that are just waiting for somebody to come to them and say, "Why don't you come back to church?" I promise you that. So we're going to talk about some practical ways to look at to reach out to people and connect with them, so that we can start taking action on these divine appointments that God has provided us. Let's talk real quickly, because I can't see that clock. My phone here to see what time it is. Let's talk real quickly about what prevents us from doing that. I don't want to spend a lot of time on this, but let's just talk about some things that can prevent us from reaching out to people. First of all, anybody in here admit to being shy? A lot of people have a real hard time believing it, but I am by nature an incredibly shy person. When I was 14 years old, my son's age, I literally couldn't walk into a McDonald's and place an order for a hamburger. I was too shy to do that, and that wasn't because the closest McDonald's was 75 miles away, although that was the case, but we had other restaurants there. I would have to ask my mom, "Order this for me." I was too shy. Through fortunate circumstances and different clubs I was involved in and also just taking on myself to force myself out of that, I developed the ability to actually go to people. But it still is a challenge for me to just walk up to somebody. You know, that anybody that's not ever felt that, it's hard to relate to that. But that self-consciousness is a very, very discomforting, uncomfortable situation. I know there are a lot of people like that, and there's techniques and ways that you can use to kind of work yourself out of that. I'm sorry, I put that message up, or that verse up a little too fast there. There is a verse that I meant to put on the screen that I failed to get in it, and I apologize, but it's 2 Timothy 1 and verse 7. It says, "For God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power and love and self-control." So when you're interacting with people and you feel that shyness or that hesitancy or that not wanting to expose yourself feeling coming out, just remember that God's there with you, and He's given you, as it says, not a spirit of fear, but He's given you the power to address that situation. Other situations are we get busy, where there's just a lot of distractions. The world today is as busy as it's ever been. I keep putting that verse up too early, but that's okay. Recognize, though, that sometimes we're busy together. You know, we're running to events. We're running to ball games with our friends. But there's people all around us at those busy times that we have the opportunity to interact with. And then we have this situation of unfriendly neighbors, people that are not very friendly. That's something that we have to deal with. We have these situations where people just aren't very friendly. There's all kinds of, as I said, there's all kinds of busyness and distraction. A couple of verses I wanted to look at: Luke 10 and verse 38 to 42. And this is the situation where Jesus was with Mary and Martha, and Martha was all busy because she had so many things to do. And Jesus said to her, "Martha, Martha, you're anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary." And of course, that's serving the Lord. It's nice to have our house clean and this in order and that in order, but what's important is taking action on these divine appointments. Hebrews 12:1 says, "Let us lay aside every weight and the sin that so easily besets us." So if we're busy, if we got distractions, if there's things going on, God tells us, lay those things aside. Get rid of those distractions and serve the Lord. I'm going to skip past this next verse real quickly. We just don't want to get too wrapped up in our time here. Sometimes immorality is an issue. We look at that person and say, "Oh, they wouldn't be interested. I'm not going to talk to them because they live a very immoral life." We shouldn't think of it that way. We should think in terms of anybody out there is an opportunity. Those divine appointments might be from anybody that is around us. So we should not think in terms of assuming that somebody is not going to be interested in the gospel. So let's talk real quickly about what are some opportunities that we might have. And I just want to kind of point out a few situations that we might be in. This is a kind of a long list. I won't read through them, but think about all the different scenarios, all the different things that we do in our life. Walk around the neighborhood, walking our dog. Most of us, you know, if we're involved with people at work, well, there may be social clubs we're involved in. If you're retired and there's some social club that you're involved in, that's an opportunity. Not many of us in this group are still in school, but some people might be involved with school activities. There's all kinds of activities that give us an opportunity to reach out to people. Well, most of the time, though, we're involved in the focus of whatever that activity is, whether it be a school event, whether it be a ball game or whatever. We're involved in that. What I would like to suggest is that we constantly think in terms of using those situations as opportunities to find a way to connect to people in a simple way and potentially encourage them to think about coming to visit us in the building here. I believe we've got a really great congregation here. I think all of you who are members here will probably agree. There's a reason that we've had several new people join us as members of this congregation recently, because we've got this very, as has been pointed out so many times, you literally can feel the warmth and the love when you walk in this building. When I, you know, my family has been a part of this for just a couple of years now here, But when I spoke with the elders and they talked to us about placing our membership here, you know, one of the reasons that we gave is that when we first walked into this building, we just felt like this was where we belonged. And I think probably a lot of people that are new here have felt that experience. So bringing people into our, you know, getting people into the building is an important factor so that they can experience what we have and give an opportunity for, whether it be Brother Neil, one of the elders, or any of us, to sit down with them and talk to them about the gospel of Christ. This is kind of an unusual slide here, but one of the things you want to think about as you're reaching out to people is think about whether you want a shotgun approach or a rifle approach. If you're a hunter, which I'm not, even though I grew up in the country, if you're a hunter, it depends on what you're hunting is what kind of gun you're going to use. If you're going to go hunt for and shoot quail, if you're going to hunt for a covey of quail, you're probably not going to take a rifle. Because if you're that good at shooting a bird out of the sky with a rifle, you're a really good shot, I guarantee you. You're going to take a shotgun because that's going to kind of scatter that shot everywhere. But if you're going to go for hunting for rabbits, maybe you want a good rabbit stew tonight, you're going to go hunting for rabbits, you're probably going to take a rifle. So depending on the situation that you're in, you may see some, you want to sort of scatter the seeds, as they say. You may be wanting to just generally talk to everybody and sort of let people see your light shine and don't shy from talking about the congregation or the church that you're a part of, just in a general way. That's kind of a shotgun approach. But maybe there's somebody that you really want to specifically target, and you might want to take some specific action to reach out to that particular person. That would be a rifle approach. I won't spend a lot of time on that, but that just kind of think in those terms. So we get to kind of the core of our lesson here. As far as what we want to talk about, we've got a few more minutes, so we're in pretty good shape on time here. Let me stop, and I'm sort of just rambling very quickly. Does anybody have any questions or comments at this point? Any other typical scenarios where you have the opportunity to reach out to people? Excuse me. Yes. Luke.
Yep. You see somebody with a sign and help, I'm hungry,
right,
homeless, or whatever. And we always, a lot of us will look and say, does he really need the money?
Right.
A lot of times what I do is I give him food. I buy something and give him food.
Yeah, that sort of goes back to that point I made about some people would just assume they're immoral and they wouldn't be interested in the gospel anyway. That's an easy assumption to make. And let's be real honest, in most cases it's probably correct, but we can't make that assumption. We just have to think like Jesus. Think about all the times that Jesus, you know, got in trouble with the Pharisees, that the Pharisees criticized him for eating with publicans and sinners. I mean, in fact, I started to bring it into here, but there's verse after verse where Jesus interacted with sinners. And he sort of gave us the example of not being of the world, but being in the world. We're in the world. We can't help that, and we're around people who are worldly people, who are somewhat immoral people. We're around them. It doesn't mean that we buy into their activities, or that we support what they do, or that we participate in what they do. But we can't help being around them. Did I see a hand over here, Glenn?
When I was working as a building maintenance engineer, of course, going to a building, you meet a lot of people, and you meet it briefly because you're going about working on the building and things. But still, one of the things I was taught, that whenever you make eye contact with somebody, that's the first thing. Eye contact. Right. What do? Well, acknowledgement that they're there. Nod, smile, say hi, or whatever. That worked in a scenario with one of my tenants, that every time I came in, I would, of course, say to the receptionist, good morning and all that, and go through the building and do my thing. And there was this one gentleman, and he was an ex, or let's say ex, there's no ex-Marine, he was like an officer and all that. But I used to go by his office and I would say good morning or say hi. And he would kind of, well, after a period of time, when he'd hear my voice when I came in, he would actually come out of his office and say hi to me before I said hi to him. and then it carried on. So that just simple, you know, eye contact, saying, acknowledging, with a smile or just good morning, no matter if you're just walking down this, you know, the street, anytime that you can make eye contact with somebody, acknowledge that they're there.
Right. You know, people that are involved in
sales will tell you that the most important aspect of sales is relationship. And what you're talking about, Glenn, there is not, you know, meeting somebody and say, hey, can I invite you to church? You're talking about building a relationship with that person. And we have all kinds of people around us that we have different levels of relationship with. And the more we can build that relationship, the more we can find and create these opportunities with some of these typical scenarios that we're going to talk about to possibly connect with that person to give us an opportunity to talk to them about the gospel or invite them to church services. Yes?
When the sister in the Lord that studied the Word with me, her and I, of course, would spend time together. There was a time that she said, Jamie, I encourage you to pray specifically that you will run into a person that is in need of the Lord or is open to God, and, you know, right, that in God's hands, it happens.
That's a really great
point, that prayer is a powerful tool in this concept of asking God to make those help us see those divine appointments, present those divine appointments to us. Again, let's constantly think of that phrase, divine appointment. Yes, Brother Love.
You know, you thinking about all of the scenarios you put up and ways that we can connect with people, and whether it's a sporting event or if it's out in the community, whatever the case is, but all those are great. The one thing that comes to my mind is we can't discount the connections we already have. That's a great test day for us to go out. And I guarantee you, we have a pocket of folks that we already have relationships with that we can, that we don't know how lonely they are. You know, we may think we have a great relationship, but we may be surface level. So I think that's a great opportunity for us to not discount it, but maybe go in and try to dig a little deeper in that relationship and truly understand, in order for us to invite people and get people into our world, we got to go into theirs. What I mean by that is understand where they are, right, understand why they maybe worship the way they do, or maybe not worship. And when we find out that true information there, then we can overcome whatever objections are there based on the word that we have in front of us. So I think the church to dive in on those connections we already have. Not saying not go out and get the new ones, but don't forget about the ones we have.
Absolutely
correct. That's a very good point, is that, you know, we shouldn't think of this in terms of we got to go, you know, just to kind of summarize, we got to go find new people to bring in. It's the people that are around us all the time. And I've made the statement many times in my life, you know, we live in neighborhoods and we have no idea what's going on in that house across the street from us. There's no telling what kind of issues those people are facing. We have no idea what battles people are fighting in their lives. And sometimes those are opportunities to just open up and reach out to people. I kind of had this thought in mind. I've heard people use the phrase, well, I really want to talk to so-and-so because I think they might really respond to the gospel. And nothing wrong with that. I wouldn't criticize that. But that's sort of making that appointment for ourselves. That's sort of deciding ourselves, I think that person would be a good candidate. We should really just think everybody that's out there. You know, remember, the Bible says God would that all would come to repentance. So he is not discriminating at all in who he wants to be saved, obviously, and we shouldn't be as well. So let's take a look at some typical scenarios, and I've just kind of created some situations, and then when we get to the end, I've asked Brother Glenn to kind of participate with me with a kind of an example, and let him do a little role playing of pretending of that he's one of these people. We'll see how that goes. So you may be in your neighborhood or at work or whatever, and you're talking about going out to eat, and you know, you say, oh yeah, I love that restaurant. Think about some restaurant maybe on Bruce B. Downs over there. Well, you know, you can work that into a conversation where you say, oh yeah, we go there occasionally. We like to go there after church, you know, a lot of times, because that's just on the other side of where we go to church, you know. And ideally, you know, hopefully that might prompt that person to say, oh really, where do you go to church? Well, there's your opportunity. And you can say, well, you know, we're members at the North Tampa Church of Christ. It's a great, fantastic church. We have a lot of great people there. It's a real loving church. Hey, if you're ever looking for a place to visit, we'd love to have you come visit sometime. You know, that's the way that you want to try to make that conversation work, you know, those types of things. Anybody ever have that conversation? You talk about, you know, does anybody ever eat out in restaurants? Even with COVID, that's the one thing we've not gotten away from, right? It's just like, we're going to eat in restaurants. That's what we do. So, yeah, if you have that conversation with people and you talk, or maybe something similar to that, maybe some other, you know, some other place that you go to that's common, bring up, you know, think in terms of bringing up where you attend church services, what church you're a part of. Talking about current events. Anybody talking about Afghanistan these days? That's on a lot of people's mind. Yes.
You brought that up. This has been, I'm dating myself now. 30 years ago, when I first went into ministry, I was also a firefighter at the time, and I remember that this young lady had an accident, and I had her in the back of the ambulance. She was hurting and she was crying. She says, I wish my pastor was with me. And I said, what for? She says, so he could be here with me to pray. And I said, ma'am, I can pray with you. I'm also a pastor. And so I'm in the back of the ambulance, and I'm praying with her. And her husband opens the back of the ambulance door, and he gets in the back. She goes, you can't believe it. This young firefighter is also a pastor. And they're both back there, and they're just going, oh my goodness, I can't believe it. Yeah. That came to my mind when you were saying that. Have you ever been in a situation where
it just
by appointment?
All kinds of situations that we're presented with that God provides for us, opportunities. So, you know, if you're talking to people about Afghanistan, now we haven't had a special prayer service. I'm just saying maybe that wouldn't be a bad idea to do something like that. I remember when the first Gulf War started, the congregation I was a part of, on a Wednesday night, the elders came and said, we're not going to have Bible class tonight. We're going to spend the hour just praying for that situation over there, because that was something that a lot of people were very scared about. It was, especially for us, one of our elder sons was in one of those planes flying those missions, so that was especially close to our hearts, and we just spent the hour praying. But obviously, we pray for that situation. So, you know, if you're talking about current events and you're talking about how bad that situation is, you can bring up an opportunity and say, yeah, that's something my congregation had a prayer about that, or we talked about that, at church Sunday. Again, an opportunity to bring up your church, this church here, and hopefully that person might express some interest, and you have the opportunity to say, listen, why don't you come visit with us sometime? We'd love to have you visit. I was at work a while back, and a gentleman was there, and he was playing music in the background. It's a hand over here? Yes, Neil.
Even if we don't have a prayer service, a lot of times people will tell me about current events, and I will tell them that Haiti is another thing that's going on right now.
Yep.
And I will tell people, I'm really praying about that situation. I've been down there as doing mission work.
Yeah.
And so that's, even if we don't have a prayer service, you can say, hey, I'm aware, I'm praying.
Right.
And that's an opportunity to establish that you're a person of faith.
Right.
Good point. Looked around. Any other hands? I don't want to miss people raising their hands. Yeah, I was at work a while back, and a gentleman was there. He works in the little cafeteria area, and he had some music playing in the background. I realized that was spiritual music. And as I was preparing this lesson, I thought to myself, well, now that would have been a really great opportunity to say something like, hey, have you ever visited a church that, you know, where we go to church, we're a little bit different than most religious groups. We only have vocal music. We don't use instrumental music. Have you ever heard of anything like that? And of course, that presents an opportunity to discuss what we're about here, and you know, possibly that's a lot of the questions that people have about what we do. And they say, well, why don't you have instrumental music. Well, that's an opportunity. Of course, that opens up a big discussion, but it's an opportunity to say, you know, what we're trying to do is just be that same church that we read about in the New Testament and do the same things that they did and just follow the examples, because that's what Christ taught us to do, is to follow the other example. We don't want to be a part of a man-made church. We want to be a part of the church that Jesus started in the first century. So that's an opportunity to talk about that, just talking about music. Anybody have any questions or points, any examples, other examples like that? Okay. So how much time we got? I'm gonna bring Glenn in here. You can stay at your seat or you can stand up, whatever you want to do. So I'm gonna do sort of a little role play scenario here. Some of you may know a group of us from here went to the Rays game yesterday. It was what they called Faith Day, and you know, had some special deals for church groups to come in. There were several church groups. Great game, by the way, if you're a Rays fan. Turned out to be very good for the Rays, and we enjoyed it. So what I'm going to ask Glenn to do is pretend that he's a neighbor of mine, and I walk out into the neighborhood, and he's wearing his Rays hat. Okay? So we're kind of winging this here, so we'll see how this goes here. So I'm gonna see Glenn. Glenn,
great to see you. Hey, I see you're a Rays fan. I didn't realize that.
Well, sure. I've been going to the games since they started.
Awesome. Yeah, I
love the Rays. Hey, you know, as a matter of fact, I just went to the game yesterday.
Your first time?
No, I've been before, but it
I hadn't been since 2018. For some reason, 2019, I didn't get a chance to go, and then, of course, COVID last year messed everything up, so this is my first game, and that's unusual for me because I've been a big baseball fan all my life. But we had a great game yesterday. It actually was a group of us from church that went together because it was Faith Day, and so I got to go not just, you know, with my family, but other families from our church.
That sounds interesting. Do you often do that?
Yeah, that's something, you know, we're very fortunate where I go to church to have a group of people that are very, very close. We're not one of these churches that just, you know, meets in the building together, but we do things together outside the building like that as well. So it's a great congregation. If, by the way, if you're ever interested in visiting, we'd love to have you come visit sometime. If you're looking for, you know, a church to belong to, it's a great congregation. Love to give you the information and like to have you come visit with us sometime.
Well, we meet.
I think we can kind of go from there. I think that's great. So you see how that works? How do we do? Thank you, Glenn. Great, you're a great actor. So the point of all that is to, I guess I'll use the term manipulate a little bit. You don't want to necessarily manipulate people, but you want to create situations where you're just, and it should be fairly natural because, you know, obviously our worship and our church should be the very center of our lives, shouldn't it? This should be what our whole life is all about. And so it should be natural that we're bringing mentions of our church into our conversations.
Would present to them to ask a question.
Right.
You're laying it out there in the situation that I want to know a little more.
Right.
And they go that far. If not, you move on.
And hopefully you can see that's just a fairly natural conversation. Just, you know, you don't have to force it. Just make it part of a natural conversation. So, you know, the conversation there is, you know, if you see somebody with a Rays shirt on or whatever, just bring that into the conversation, you know. Or maybe if you didn't go to the game yesterday, you could say, hey, boy, my church went to a game last week, and I heard they had a lot of great fun. I'm going to try to do it next year, you know, that type of thing. I had one other one. I don't know that we got time. Does anybody here fish? We're about out of time. Yeah, I was hoping Ron would be here. I was gonna kind of wing it with him. But let's say you see somebody coming in fishing. They got their gear and they come in, or maybe whatever. Maybe they, you know, you see them at work and they've got a fisherman's magazine on there. They say, oh, I see you're a fisherman. And then, you know, you can say something like, you know, I'm not a fisherman myself, but every time I think about fishing, I think about that phrase that Jesus used with his disciples, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. You know, that type of thing. Bring that into the conversation. That's kind of my goal today, is just to give you the idea that in everyday conversations, you can, in a very natural and a very simple way, work references into the congregation about what we're doing here at this church. And if you truly believe, as I do, and I know a lot of people here believe, that this is a wonderful, fantastic church, very loving church, it's where we belong. If you truly believe that, then you'll want to bring people in. You'll want them to come and see what it is that we have here. And of course, so much more important, you want them to experience the love of Jesus Christ and the saving power that comes by his death. So we have that love for people. These are some simple, just natural ways that you can kind of connect with people and begin conversations that might lead to inviting them to church services, to talk about the Bible, to study the Bible, or what have you. I think we're out of time. Any comments? Questions? Thank you so much. Appreciate it.